I don't know, during COVID especially, sometimes you turn on television and the news media would have reporting on a flash mob. Remember that? People would just all of a sudden start singing and dancing and all that. Well, a year ago, the same thing happened in London at many of the train stations. Flash mobs broke out everywhere to celebrate the end of the COVID lockdown. Professional dancers, as well as 100 volunteers, contributed to the surprise flash performances. You can see the joy on the people's faces as they sway to the music and collectively cheer and celebrate together. The long, long road season, they said, and the people needed this. The laughter and the smiles were infectious. A new sense of hope swept through the country. Music, dance, celebration, as a way of lifting up people's spirits. Such was the feeling that day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, no less. Not everybody knew what was going on. The disciples who accompanied Jesus and the hundreds were shouting and singing verses from Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is a psalm that reflects to this story. I challenge you to read it on your own devotional. They were throwing down their cloaks in the path of Jesus, waving palm branches in unison and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Well, the whole city was in turmoil, disrupted by the mob. People were smiling and singing and laughing and dancing in the streets. Young and old joined in. Some were cutting branches to hand out to other people in the crowd as they saw the donkey coming around the corner of the road that led right up to the temple gate. The mood was infectious. Soon, more and more people joined in. Some turned to the others in the crowd and said, "Who is this?" Others said, "Well, this is the prophet Jesus, you know, from Galilee up in Nazareth." And some didn't need an excuse to join in the celebration because times were hard in them days in Israel. Times have been hard and it felt good to dance and sing with that ever-growing crowd. Now, others in the crowd knew about Jesus, knew about Jesus' plan to ride through the city gates, obstructing the yearly priestly procession of the lambs, taking over the parade. The priests and the Sadducees would gather the lambs, and they would pray them towards the temple for the Passover meal. Soon everybody in the street started joining in. And the priests and the Sadducees and the religious leaders were upstaged. And they tried to calm everybody down. They shouted at the disciples, "Make them shut up!" Jesus heard them and he said to them, "If these were silent, even the stones would cry out." This made the crowd roar even more fervently and the officials were upset. But the people prevailed and drowned them out. If this happened today, I think all of us would smile and declare, "Flash mob!" A phenomenon in our culture in recent years, the very word makes all of us smile. Because we love these kind of surprises, these scripted yet apparently spontaneous outbreaks of joy in the midst of mundanity. From subways, to public squares, to airports, to train stations, to malls, these flash mobs united people in a momentary celebration in which, for that period of time, we were all brothers and sisters. We were all happy, we were all smiling, we were all dancing, we were all joining into a very human show of jubilation. Just for the sake of celebrating life, creativity, and more importantly, the joy of the human spirit. Only days later would turn into a hushed, solemn period of time. as Jesus was arrested, put through a makeshift overnight trial, then removed for the crucifixion. But in the moment, all people saw was the infectious flash mob of singers and swayers, and palm trees and wavers of the palm trees. And for this moment in time, their king was victorious. Although the turmoil continued, as the crowd followed Jesus right up to the temple gate, where he took a seat in the temple courtyard, and he began to preach for the next couple of days leading up to the Passover festival. He taught, which angered the Pharisees and the chief priests more and more, as he cast verbal zingers in their direction. Now, we can only guess that the crowds were persisting until the time of his arrest. Were there hushed whispers about what had happened to this popular teacher? Did people withdraw to hide in their homes for fear of retaliation by the temple officials or modern times, church officials, by our rejection by the priest during Passover, an important festival of the Jewish tradition? How did they find out what happened after that faithful Passover feast when Jesus was arrested by night in the Garden of Gethsemane? How did they react? We can only guess that they hid. We know about Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." We all heard that story in Scripture. Carefully exchanging messages about the state of things that could find them to their homes in the hope of that day, the flash mob parade fading into the recesses of their memory. Often wondered, did Jesus orchestrate his performance that day? I believe that he certainly did. And when I say that, he would have not sent his disciples for a pre-arranged donkey and colt. Otherwise, the huge crowd that accompanied him would not have known what was happening. Like all flash mobs, like all art, Jesus was sending a message, one to the Pharisees and the priests, that his movement could not be put down, no matter what they did. And one of his followers were to let them know that the time of celebration would be coming soon. They didn't know what it was, but Jesus knew. Perhaps he hoped that on this day of joy it might offset the devastation that he knew was to come before his final resurrection victory. Perhaps he wanted to give his followers a hope to hold on despite the growing threat in his life and the many others. Perhaps he wanted to ensure them that the fight was not over, even if it might appear to be for a little while. Now, whatever Jesus' reason was for many, his arrest would stifle the joy they felt that day in the procession when they were shouting the hosannas. It would feel like a faraway echo in the sound of the nails being driven into the cross. And it would stay in their minds for far longer, driving fear deep into their hearts. Now, for most people in that day, the Messiah was meant to conquer Rome. The Messiah was to free them from the tyranny of their captive, the Roman Empire. That's what they wanted a king to do, to take away the corruption in the temple and in their society. Had Jesus known to the masses that his plan would be to die in a few days, no doubt the crowd would not have believed him, or that they had had an uprising that day instead of merely celebrating. He told only a select few what was going to take place. And for those disciples that were told what was become this procession and the people shouting and singing and dancing and celebrating was the assurance that they would need to carry on after Jesus' resurrection. That's what we're doing. We're carrying on. For that moment, they saw the meaning of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee in the Jewish tradition, the year of Jubilee when everything is restored. That's what the year of Jubilee is. That everything would go back the way it's supposed to be. All your debts were forgiven. Everything took place in the year of Jubilee. The meaning of Jubilee, the joy of restoration and the faith of those who had put their trust in Christ, in that movement that would later be called the Way. When I was blessed to be able to fulfill a lifelong dream to be on the radio, and I managed, or God gave me the opportunity to have a 5-minute radio program, a devotional, the Lord said, okay, this is what I want you to give it a title. If you're going to talk about me, I want you to give it a title. And he said, the title is, The Word is the Way to Life. That was the name of the broadcast. The Word is the Way to Life. What's the Word? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he showed us the way that we can have life and have it more abundantly. They were really called the Way. Originally, they weren't called Christians until Antioch. Now, these flash mobs only lasted an hour or two, but their significance, their impact, and their uniting power, their humanizing spirit, the memory of the people who joined in that joy, lasts for a lifetime. It would be enough to power a movement for weeks and years and decades, and voila, thousands of years later, here we are in the spirit of Palm Sunday.